Good evening, everyone.
Hi. Hi.
Jasmine, come here. She wants to say goodnight to y'all before she goes to bed.
Hi, dog.
No, I'm sorry. Okay, go ahead.
Hello and goodbye.
Yeah, she's going to bed for the last, tomorrow's the last time she has to get up and go to school this year.
I'll flick the light.
Okay, so go to bed and I'll wake you up for school in the morning.
Bye, Mom.
Good night. We love you. All right. What about summer school? No summer school around here.
Yeah, what about it?
All right. That's it. The kids are in bed. Just me and Laurent and the dog now, so it'll be quiet around here, I think.
Quieter.
Our guides. And what we've been doing is we started with the very first thing on ReginaDonAcres.com, which was probably a vision, but the very first thing that Holy Spirit ever gave me, and we've been looking at each thing one by one, and today we're all the way up to, after almost a year of doing this, we're all the way up to August of 2005, so at this pace we're going to be like doing this forever. We'll see what happens. But we are on the last message of August 2005, and then we get to advance to September 2005. So, you know, we're moving forward. Here's a link to August 2005 at ReginaDonAcres.com, so you can click on that. And what I'm going to do is start by turning this next hour over to the Holy Spirit. As I mentioned this morning when we were together for Awakenings, this is, to me, the most important part of the teaching, is turning it over to the Holy Spirit, because truly, the only thing that we're really interested in is the perspective that the Holy Spirit would give us. And so we begin this teaching by asking to see whatever is most helpful for us to see, and realize whatever is most helpful for us to realize. Because what we seek, what we very sincerely seek, are the shifts of mind that move us towards awakening, towards the final accepting of the atonement for ourself. And we are very, very grateful for every one of these shifts that we call a miracle. So again, tonight we ask for whatever is most helpful for each of us. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so...
The shifts of cause.
Pepe Le Pew. Yeah, the French skunk, the romantic French skunk.
There you go.
All right, so when you click on the link that I gave you, it will take you to Sunday, August 7th, 2005. And this, by the way, is one day before I began writing NTI.
Wow, cool.
I began, it was on Monday, August 8th, when the Holy Spirit woke me up very early in the morning. I happened to be on vacation, so I wasn't planning on getting up early. But Holy Spirit woke me up early in the morning and told me to find a Bible and get started. So it was the very next morning, Sunday, August 8th, that we began NTI. I know a couple people have popped into the room, so let me just give you this link one more time. Yeah, Ron, do you want to sing that song?
No, that's okay.
He's singing very quietly in my ear.
It's Grace's song.
Yeah, it's Grace. It's a song for one-year-olds. It's a song we sing for Grace, and Laurent has fallen in love with it.
I love that song.
So sing it.
Pop, pop, pop those bubbles. Pop, pop, pop those bubbles.
No, you sing. You're the singer. Don't point at me.
Make those bubbles go pop, pop, pop.
There we go. That's what I sing to Grace, primarily while I'm changing her diaper to keep her entertained.
It's going to be the hit soon. I'm going to record it.
Yeah, and we only have two more days with Grace, Thursday, Friday, and then that's it.
And two more days of Laurent.
Oh, yeah, him too.
By the way, him too.
By the way, he's leaving too. So it's going to be just me and Jasmine again for at least a couple of weeks. And do you realize Jasmine and I have not been alone since early August of last year. We've had guests all the time. So we're going to have like a whole week and a half, just me and her here. That's pretty amazing. We haven't had that in a long time, so that's pretty cool.
That'll be very good.
Yeah. Well, we have a whole week and a half. We actually, 2005, it looks like I had a question, so let's read my question first. A Course in Miracles says, you cannot give yourself your innocence, for you are too confused about yourself. This sounds just like NTI Matthew, doesn't it? You cannot give yourself your innocence, for you are too confused about yourself. But should one brother dawn upon your sight as wholly worthy of forgiveness, then your concept of yourself is wholly changed. Your evil thoughts have been forgiven with his, because you let them affect you not. And so then I asked, what would you share regarding this text? So here's the Holy Spirit's answer. Practice is all the world is for. I'm going to read that sentence again because it's so incredibly important, because we get all involved in the world. We think it has many, many purposes, but here we have the Holy Spirit giving us one. Yeah. Practice is all the world is for. Since the world is but a dream, its only purpose is the practice of awakening. And within the dream, you are given forms with which to practice. It is your role to practice until your practice is made complete and the dream is no more. So every situation that comes, and I would say, you know, that's how Laurent and I use every single situation that comes. You know, we live together, so, you know, we're very aware of how each one of us looks at everything. And I think that that's really the only way we look at everything. Is how do I see one brother as wholly worthy of forgiveness? What steps shall I take? Holy Spirit's answer. First, notice your thoughts about your brother. You think thoughts about him automatically, and you often accept them as true without questioning them. You must slow down enough to observe your thoughts and question them with me. Sounds like the same Holy Spirit I'm still listening to today. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what's really nice about the Holy Spirit. He is incredibly, incredibly consistent. And, you know, again, one thing he emphasizes is all the time with me is slowness in the mind. He emphasizes with me not to react too fast. You know, if somebody asks me a question, for example, or if somebody says something to me, not necessarily just to answer right away, but to pause, notice the thought that's in my mind, look at it with him and see whether it's coming from him. If so, then say that. If not, then let that go and wait for him. It's like I'm a puppet, to be honest. I am becoming more and more of a puppet, and you know what? I'm okay with that.
Well, that's a puppet of happiness.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a time when such a thought would have offended me, you know, because I wanted to think I was this independent thinking person. It no longer offends me at all. In fact, I'm very, very happy to be learning to become the puppet, because the puppet really is, although the word may sound very offensive to the ego, what the puppet really is just listening to one voice, and listening to that one voice is my joy. So I am very, very the source is what we would call the Holy Spirit, to either follow up on that thought or not follow up on that thought. And of course, if it's ego, I just choose to let it go. And if it's Holy Spirit, I choose to say it. And what's really interesting, guys, what's really interesting about being a puppet is that a puppet doesn't get to exercise its own judgment. As a puppet, what we will do is exercise discernment. And by discernment, I mean merely, is what's in my mind now an ego thought, or is what's in my mind now a Holy Spirit thought? But that's all that we need as puppets. We don't need any other information. If we slip into looking at it in another way, adding additional judgment on top of that discernment, we've actually slipped into accidentally listening to the ego. So, for example, let's imagine somebody says something to me, and a thought comes into my mind, and I look at that thought, and I recognize that thought as ego, but then I go right on but to say something like, yeah, but he is wrong, and I am right, and for me not to say this thought in my mind, I'm just becoming a doormat and allowing myself to be taken advantage of, and so I go on and say it anyway. What happened was I recognized it as ego, but I didn't stop there and just let it go based on the source. I went on with additional judgment. And based on that additional judgment, I slipped right into listening to ego, and I went ahead and said the ego thing anyway. Or another example of that might be, I look in my mind, there's a thought, I discern the thought is from the Holy Spirit, but I say it. I went beyond my discernment into judgment, and I listened to ego. So as a puppet, our job is not to engage judgment at all, only discernment. And by discernment, I simply mean, again, is this thought from ego? If so, let it go. Is this thought from Holy Spirit? If so, say it. That's the way a puppet operates. And that's perfect, and that's what I'm practicing now. So back to this first paragraph, then, of this answer. Holy Spirit says, first, notice your thoughts about your brother. You think thoughts about him automatically, and you often accept them as true without questioning them. You must slow down enough to observe your thoughts and question them with me. So again, it's about looking at the thoughts with the Holy Spirit and starting to get to that point where we're discerning the source. And by source in this case, I mean ego or Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit continues, I've already told you that any thought you think apart from me is illusion. Yet it is illusion that you believe in. By observing your thoughts about your brother, you will see where you seem to be thinking apart from me. And then, if you are ready to let illusions go, you will let those thoughts go, and you will no longer put your faith in them. This is really interesting, because look at why I'm letting the thoughts go. When I look at a thought about my brother, and beloved Lenny, I'm going to use you an example. I don't really have a lot of thoughts about you, so don't worry, Lenny. I'm not sitting around thinking, you know, all these thoughts going on in my mind about Lenny all day. And I have a thought about Lenny, and I see that thought about Lenny, and I realize that thought is ego. Again, like I talked about a moment ago, that's really enough information. I don't need to go on to look at it another way. It's really enough information. If what I really want is to let go of illusion, if what I really want is to let go of the ego, if what I really want is to wake up, the only piece of information I need is I need to see that my thought about Lenny is ego. That's enough reason right there to let go of it. I don't need to go into analyzing whether, you know, Lenny's treating me like a doormat or not, you know, whether Lenny's taking advantage of me or not, whether Lenny's making me look bad in front of other people or not. None of that other stuff matters. None of that other stuff matters if my purpose is awakening. This is why our purpose has to be right out front, because if we forget our purpose, if we forget what the world is for, we might be tricked by some of those other reasons. Like I might think that I need to email Lenny and have a talk with Lenny because he's making me look bad in what he's saying about me. And I might think that correcting Lenny so that I look good is important. And the whole time I'm thinking that, I'm listening to ego, and I'm not realizing it because I'm screwed up on my purpose. Instead of remembering that my purpose is to awaken, I've thought that my purpose is to, you know, make sure I look good and that Lenny quits making me look bad. Hello, Lenny. He's like, straighten me out. That's what we're doing, Lenny. We're straightening you out. So again, look at this paragraph. Look at this paragraph. You will see where you seem to be thinking apart from me. And then, here's the kicker. If you are ready to let illusions go, you will let those thoughts go. And you will no longer put your faith in them. I'm not thinking about whether what Lenny is saying is making me look good or making me look bad. That's not my concern. My concern is, it's ego. I want to let go of ego. In order to do that, I have to let go of this thought. Because if I keep this thought, I'm keeping ego. That's all I need to know. Whether I look good, look bad, totally irrelevant. Whether Lenny is, quote, taking advantage of me, not taking advantage of me, totally irrelevant if my purpose is to let go of ego. So it's just getting straight on our purpose and really wanting it above all else. Wanting that more than anything else. Okay, Lenny, I'm done using you. If I need somebody else, I'll use somebody else. Thank you very much, Lenny, for your assistance.
Next one is Cliff.
Cliff, you want me to use Cliff next? Okay, let's see. Oh, look at Zoe. She's saying, use me.
Use me.
All right, so let's go to the next paragraph then. To trust in your brother is to trust in me. Whoa, there's a statement that I bet was hard for me to accept on August 7th, 2005. To trust in your brother is to trust in me. For I am the truth of who he is. Whatever you do to the least of my brothers, you do to me. Whatever thoughts you accept regarding your brother, you accept regarding me. Am I an illusion? Whatever you see in your brother, you see in me. And so you believe regarding yourself. So that's really a kicker right there. I mean, I'm kind of screwed now. Kind of screwed, you know, because if I decide that I need to, you know, see my brother as separate from me in order to be safe, well, I've just separated myself from the Holy Spirit.
And from you.
And from me. So what I need to do then is I need to be willing to see that my brother is my one and only truth, my love of all that is. You know, regardless of what he seems to do. And if we remember our purpose, let's go back to putting our purpose above all else. Because, you know, when we say things like regardless of what he seems to do, there's always that, what if he's taking advantage of me thought? What if I'm just being a doormat? You know, there's always that. It always seems to hang out there. But if I remember my purpose above all else, if what I really want is to awaken, then even when my brother seems to be turning me into a doormat, he is providing me with an opportunity. This is the truth. He's providing me with an opportunity to let go of my ego, because only my ego could perceive me as being treated like a doormat. Trust me, whenever you feel like you're being treated like a doormat, you are looking at the situation through the ego. And once you realize that, it's a slight shift, not a big shift. It's a slight shift to go from a, I don't like this present, a gift. It's really not a big shift to go from a doormat to a gift. It's just remembering your purpose. And in remembering your purpose, then, the brother who may have for a moment been an enemy because he was treating you like a doormat, suddenly becomes your savior. We've heard this language from A Course in Miracles. Suddenly becomes your savior because he's the one that's providing you with the opportunity to let go of your ego. And that's what you want above all else. You know, you couldn't do it without him. The enemy suddenly becomes the savior. It's great, and it's not a big shift. All it takes is knowing your purpose, remembering your purpose. That's all it takes.
What does he say in the movie, Revolver? Like he says, but the ego is waiting for you behind your pain?
Yes, yes. In fact, you know what we're going to do Saturday night, guys? Get ready for a party. Saturday night I'm teaching, and what I'm going to do is bring a couple scenes from Revolver. Unfortunately, we can't watch them together, but I'm going to play the audios of those scenes, and we're going to look at them line by line and look at just how useful and how helpful those scenes are. To help each and every one of us let go of the ego. If you haven't seen Revolver yet and you want to watch the movie, you've got, what, Thursday night and Friday night to maybe go rent it and watch it before Saturday night we sit down and discuss it. So if you want to run out and get it and rent it and watch it, you got two nights to do that before we go over it. And then I just want to tell you in advance, in case you're not the kind who really likes violent movies, I want to tell you it's a really violent movie so that, you know, you won't be shocked. But also, like, the scene that was hardest for me is where they're hammering a nail through this guy's hand. It really helped when I realized that's just a rubber hand. So remember stuff like that. It's not...
It's very helping.
It's very helpful. It's really helpful.
Yeah.
Sharon, I got to hold on. I got to move this. I want to see Sharon's comment. She says, getting freaked out. Yeah. It's pretty violent, but it's great. It's great, you know. And after you've seen it once, then you're over the shock of the violence. And then the next time around, it's easier to watch it, of course, because then,
you know...
But the first time, I had to kind of lean my head into Laurent's shoulder a couple times and kind of look away from it because it does get pretty violent. But it's a great movie. Great. Okay, so let's go back to this message here. Questioner. My next question then to the Holy Spirit. So this is what is meant in A Course in Miracles when Jesus asks us to forgive him. I remember wondering what I had to forgive Jesus for, but that's because I was thinking of him as separate. Holy Spirit says, the idea of Jesus is the same as the idea of your brother, and the idea is within your mind. It is the idea of separateness. And it is this idea you must forgive by seeing your brother as you. But you have not forgiven the thought if you hold one brother outside your ring of forgiveness. For oneness is whole. It can be nothing else. So remember what we read up above, because we're doing a lot of talking, so we may have lost the flow of the message. Up above, Holy Spirit reminded us of Jesus' sentence in the Bible where he says, whatever you do to the least of your brothers, you do to me. So, all right, who wanted to be picked on next? I think it was Zoe. Okay, Zoe, here you come. It's your turn to be picked on.
Okay.
He's saying, let's imagine that I love everyone in this room except Zoe. I love everyone who crosses my mind. Every single person I think of, even for an instant, I'm madly in love with them, except Zoe. Okay? Not Zoe. For some reason, Zoe is the one person I just can't get myself to love. There's just something about that Zoe.
This is good.
All right? If I cannot forgive Zoe, now let's remember what Jesus said. Whatever you do to the least of my brothers, you have done to me. If I cannot forgive Zoe, I am not forgiving Jesus because they are the same. I cannot say, I don't like Zoe, and say, I love Jesus. It's not true.
I love God. Yeah.
Or I love God. Yes. It's not true. This is what Holy Spirit is telling us. It's just not true. I'm only pretending. I'm fooling myself. So if I want to, quote, forgive Jesus, I may think I have no grievances against Jesus. I have grievances against Zoe. I have grievances against Jesus because they are one and the same Son of God. So, if I want to love Jesus wholly, then I must also love Zoe wholly. And what I must do is find what thought in my mind is an obstacle to loving Zoe. It has nothing to do with Zoe. It doesn't matter what she's done. Doesn't matter what she says. It doesn't matter if whatever it is, she keeps doing it every day. That same thing, you know, it doesn't matter. I forgive Jesus by forgiving every thought in my mind, every idea in my mind that is an obstacle to perfect love. And whatever idea is in my mind that's making me think I don't like Zoe, that's an idea that needs to be forgiven. It's just an idea in my mind. You know, I remember this was like a great realization. There was this one woman at work, well, back when I used to work, that I really did have a hard time with. I mean, I'm done with you, Zoe. Zoe, thank you very much for, you know, your participation. But there was a woman once. I've never had a problem with Zoe, and she knows that, just like Lenny. But there was a woman I did have a problem with. And I'm going to make up a name. I doubt she ever hears these recordings, but just in case, I'm going to make up a name. So let's call her Elizabeth. All right, there was this lady, Elizabeth, that I had a big problem with. Big problem, I'm not exaggerating. Big problem. I'm sure we've all had our Elizabeths. I really thought I hated Elizabeth. I was pretty convinced I hated Elizabeth. But you know what? One day Holy Spirit said to me, you know that idea in your head that tells you that you hate Elizabeth is just a thought. You don't have to believe it. And I was floored. It never occurred to me that way. I saw a thought in my mind that said, I hate Elizabeth, and I thought it was a fact. I thought it was a truth about me. I thought that I was the person who hated Elizabeth. It never occurred to me that that was just a thought. And that when my mind told me I hated Elizabeth, I could say, no, I don't. And once that occurred to me, I actually noticed that the thought that comes into our mind. The problem is we don't. The problem is we think they're our thoughts. We think they're facts about who we are. That's not true. We can actually question every single thought that comes into our mind. So again, this says the idea of Jesus is the same as the idea of your brother. And the idea is within your mind. The idea is a thought within your mind. It is the idea of separateness, and it is this idea you must forgive by seeing your brother as you. But you have not forgiven the thought if you hold one brother outside your ring of forgiveness, for oneness is whole. It can be nothing else. So then I asked, so why does the Course say we only need to see one brother as wholly worthy of forgiveness? And the Holy Spirit says, wholly worthy of forgiveness means it is all the same, regardless of what that body may seem to do within the dream. You see him as wholly worthy of forgiveness. There is no exception. And this learning is transferable. For when you see one brother in this light, you will see them all within this light. For there can be no difference in your sight then. Okay, so let's look at this again very slowly. Because, you know, maybe for some of us this is very easy. But I'll tell you what, the ego doesn't want it to be easy. So maybe for some of us it's not. So let's just look at this very slowly. All right? So what this is saying is, regardless of what that body may seem to do within the dream, you see that brother is wholly worthy of forgiveness. One brother is all you know. You've learned something pretty valuable. And if you've learned something that valuable, you can then take that and transfer it to anyone else. Because what you've learned is the truth, the absolute truth of your brother's innocence. And you've learned that there's nothing your brother can do that can change the fact that he's innocent. And you only have to really learn that with one. And then you know it's true for all. It's a wholly transferable lesson. So that's why you only need to find one brother wholly worthy of forgiveness. Because when you get the wholly worthy of forgiveness part, when you really get that, that there's nothing your brother can do that takes away his innocence, then you see that that's true for everyone. But what you have to realize is there's nothing your brother can do that takes away his innocence. Nothing your brother can do that takes away his innocence. And this is what Jesus meant, of course, when he was on the cross and he said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." He saw that there was nothing anyone could do that took away their innocence. You know, to quote Eckhart Tolle, they were just unconscious. You know, they're just listening to the ego, believing the ego, doing what the ego says, and they don't realize that's not the truth. They're innocently mistaken. And it's not who they are. They are what we call I am that I am. So it's not what they are. Everything they're doing is temporal. It's all going to pass, no matter what it is, and the truth of what they are will still be. Get that with even one brother, you will get that with them all, because it's a complete thought. It's a complete thought. Once you get the complete thought of innocence, then you've gotten it completely. So it looks like I still had another question, so let's see what I ask next. I can see that this is the example that Jesus... Oh, see, look, my mind today is right where my mind was in August of 2005. I can see that this is the example that Jesus set on the cross when he said, "Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do." In his sight, they were wholly worthy of forgiveness without exception. There was no sin in his sight, not even what they seemed to be doing to his body. And then Holy Spirit just repeats, "One brother, wholly worthy of forgiveness, and you have forgiven the world." Everything I just said. And it's through that consistency, actually, the consistency of that conversation in August 2005, the consistency of it coming back into my mind the same way just now, without having pre-read this. I didn't read this in advance. I didn't know that was in the next paragraph. So that witness of that consistency tells us that this is the truth, that this is a true way of seeing, and that if we aren't seeing that way now, we can ask to see that way because it is a true perception. It's a true way of seeing. And every one of us can see that way, and in that way we are freed. We are released. Our brothers are freed and released too. But we are free. Jesus was fully worthy of forgiveness. Zoe, is it the last paragraph that you want me to read again? For now, I'll assume so. I'll read the last paragraph. Yes, okay. So here we go. I'm going to read what I said too, because what was happening, even though it's me speaking, is I was really getting what Holy Spirit was saying to me. So as the questioner here, I've now slipped into my right mind, and I'm in alignment with Holy Spirit. So here's what I was saying. I can see that this is the example that Jesus set on the cross when he said, "Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do." In his sight, they were wholly worthy of forgiveness without exception. There was no sin in his sight, not even what they seemed to be doing to his body. And Holy Spirit says, "One brother, wholly worthy of forgiveness, and you have forgiven the world." And again, it's because, like I said, when you really get this, that is a complete thought. Your brother's innocence, when you truly see it, is a complete thought. Therefore, it applies completely to everything and everyone. You only have to get it with one. And that's a light that goes on in your mind, and then everywhere that you look, you see through that same light. Okay, so what I'm going to do is let go of the mic for a second and see if anybody else would like to say anything before we go to September 2005.
Which is what happened, which is the...
1 second. Yes, yeah, Sharon, please take the mic.
In another chat room in Pale Talk, and there were people, it was a Muslim versus Christianity type thing. I just went in there for a moment, and I thought, wow, you know, this is really crazy. And I remembered that it was really just showing me what's in my own mind, like my insane mind, that I wish things could be different mind. And I think of it as being like a big ocean where every thought that's ever could be there that's insane is there. And I just simply pick and choose what thoughts I want to hang on to and what ones I want to let go. They're not even coming from Sharon. They just surface. And anyway, so I was looking at it like that, kind of standing back and observing what was going on there. And somebody was really angry, and they said, "Oh, so-and-so, you know, ought to be assassinated," or real dramatic, you know, talking about death. And I said, you know, something like, it's just so much easier just to let it go rather than suffer. And this person couldn't see how they were making themselves suffer. And I thought, wow, yeah, I've been there, done that. Thank you for showing me that, is what I thought. I didn't say it. But the thought of Jesus on the cross came into my mind at that time, because I said in the room, and I wasn't saying it to be pious or better than anybody, but I said, I'll forgive that person if you can't, I'll forgive them for you. And it just kind of came out of nowhere, and it occurred to me that that was exactly Jesus' teaching. Is that it finally occurred to Jesus that he could forgive for everybody because he is our one mind. He could do that. He could see everyone as being exactly the same and forgive even for his brother who is him. And I don't know, that whole thing just clicked. It just clicked exactly what that all meant to me. I mean, I've heard it many times. It was like, yeah, okay, I get it. Anyway.
Nice.
Yeah, especially
especially the giggle.
The story's nice, but then, you
know. Yeah, we liked your little giggle at the end. All right, I've given you all the link to September 2005. We are advancing into another month. When you get to September 2005, what you'll want to do is scroll down on the screen. And it looks like the very next time I wrote with Holy Spirit in this informal way was September 15th, 2005. And that's really because now we're going to see bigger gaps, because what's happening now is I'm writing NTI every day. So I'm listening to Holy Spirit every day, and I'm writing with Holy Spirit every day, but it's what I call the formal as opposed to the informal writings. You know, it was going into NTI. I didn't know at that time that NTI was going to be a published book. I didn't know that. But there was a difference.
And a very good one.
Yeah, and a very good one, Laurent says. He's finally reading it. Yeah. But anyway, I did know that there was a difference between NTI, even though it didn't have that name yet. I knew there was a difference between those writings and these informal chats that I had with Holy Spirit. So I was keeping them in different places. So we're going to see bigger gaps now between the writings, because I'm listening to Holy Spirit every day through NTI and learning through that. So it looks like the next time that I had an informal chat with Holy Spirit was Thursday, September 15th. And the question that day was, what are attack thoughts? And if I remember correctly, it's because people were on the peace of God talking about attack thoughts, and it seemed to be that nobody was really sure. People were trying to say, what is an attack thought? And they were... or it may have been Gary Renard's... this is different, Dove. I know what you're thinking of. This is different. Come up with a real good definition of what an attack thought. It was like everybody was kind of saying together, I don't know. What is an attack thought? There was a big I don't know in the air. And you know what, you guys? There's nothing better than an I don't know. Because when we put an I don't know out there, we give the Holy Spirit the opportunity to teach us what we need to learn. So this was a day when, on the peace of God, there was a legitimate discussion, not an argument, a legitimate discussion going on, and we all kind of got to this point where, what really are attack thoughts? And I went to the post office that day, I remember, and I remember I was walking into the post office, and as I walked into the post office, this answer started pouring into my mind, and I had to write it down. So here we go. Holy Spirit, what would you like to share with us about attack thoughts? And this was a legitimate us. We were all kind of wondering. So here's what the Holy Spirit said. Attack thoughts are literally any thought that sees your brother as separate from you. Okay? Now, before I go any further, and I'm sure it's going to be in the answer, I haven't read ahead, but you know, I trust the consistency of mind. This means an attack thought is not necessarily what we would call a bad thought. An attack thought would include a special love thought. Any thought in my mind that separates my brother from me or from others is an attack. Okay? So here we go. Attack thoughts are literally any thought that sees your brother as separate from you. In this way, here we go, I knew it was coming, an attack thought can seem to be a thought of love. An attack thought can seem to be a thought of love. If this thought of love sees a brother as, it is an attack thought. See, we define things as love that aren't really love. We're all screwed up about what love is. But if I, you know, if I'm married, I probably think I love my spouse. Maybe not. But let's go for the assumption I think I do. I probably think I love my spouse. And I probably think I hold my spouse in high regard. But if I have expectations that my spouse will treat me a certain way, included in that idea of love, That's not love, that's attack. It provides the opportunity for judgment. It provides the opportunity for separation. Yeah, I see you guys get this. I can tell by your comments you understand exactly what we're talking about here. Holy Spirit continues. Attack thoughts may seem to be thoughts you have about another. They may seem to be thoughts another has about you. That's interesting. They may seem to be thoughts another has about you. Okay? Now what the Holy Spirit is talking about here is he's talking about my mind. Let's limit the world to Regina for 1 second. Okay? Limit the world to Regina for 1 second. Just to make this very clear. And whose turn is it to be my example? Are we going to go with Cliff? Is he even here? Yeah, he's here. Okay, Cliff, you didn't volunteer, but...
No, we didn't volunteer.
But we're going to do you anyway, okay? Okay, so if I think Cliff thinks that I'm a jerk, whose mind is that? That is in my mind. And you know, we get so tricked by this. We forget to notice that our thoughts are in our mind. We really do. We forget to notice that our thoughts are in our mind. So I'm sitting around all day thinking Cliff thinks I'm a jerk, and I'm thinking all these bad thoughts about Cliff because he thinks I'm a jerk, and I'm totally not noticing this whole thing is in my mind, that I'm the one sitting there thinking it. This is why attack thoughts may seem to be thoughts another has about me. Seem to be thoughts another has about me. Because if I'm thinking about the thoughts another has about me, those thoughts are in my mind. I'm the one doing the attacking, not Cliff. All right? So attack thoughts may seem to be thoughts I have about another. They may also seem to be thoughts another has about me. And they may seem to be thoughts another has about another. So I might be thinking that I might be thinking that Cher thinks that Cliff is a jerk. See, I don't even think I'm involved in this. I'm not involved at all. Nobody's thinking I'm a jerk. I'm not thinking anybody's a jerk. I think Cher thinks Cliff is a jerk. Totally not noticing, again, the whole thing's going on in my mind. I'm the one doing the attacking in those thoughts. I'm separating me from Cher, Cher from Cliff, Cliff from me. But I'm forgetting that it's me doing it because I'm thinking that Cher's the one that thinks Cliff is a jerk. So attack thoughts may seem to be thoughts that I have about another. Those are the most obvious ones. But they may also seem to be thoughts that I think another has about me. Or they may seem to be thoughts that I think another has about another. Or they may seem to be thoughts that I think I have about my... Any thought of separation. Holy Spirit says, it is all the same, since there are no others. And he means this literally. He means that we are all one, literally. It's only our judgments, or in the language here, our attack thoughts that seem to separate us. We're simply not seeing our oneness. We're not experiencing the flow when we are using judgment or believing attack thoughts. There are no others. Attack thoughts are any thoughts that seem to indicate the Spirit of God is not one. Attack thoughts are any thoughts that seem to indicate the Spirit of God is not one. Now here, Laurent, you can tell I was writing NCI because, you know, the Spirit of God is one is repeated throughout Matthew, and I'd probably by September 15th just finished Matthew. My guess is I was in the beginning of Mark. Mm-hmm. So now Holy Spirit's starting to talk to me in the language of NCI.
And here I was thinking of a rule of thumb that Ken Wapnick gives often, is that if you think anything, and that can be positive, yes, of a brother, if you can extend it to the whole sonship, then it's not a judgment. Then it's a, you know, then it's a thought of love. If it's not the case, then it's a, then in that case it's an attack thought. Mm-hmm. So when I say it's pretty tricky. So when I say I think Cliff is very nice. Can I extend that to anybody? Well, if I'm very honest, nice depends on things maybe. I have to. I need to be honest with myself to see what what is this that I like about my brother. Is it judgment based on what exactly? And
right. So nice is an opportunity for judgment. And as we saw in the first paragraph, if it's a thought of love that includes the opportunity for judgment, mm-hmm. it's an attack thought. And nice provides the opportunity for judgment.
But then I have the idea, because it doesn't seem bad at all to like someone. Say, oh, I like this guy, yeah. you know, that's nice.
Yeah.
I like this guy. Well, in I like this guy, I'm not sure that, you know, I like him. I don't know why I like him, but is that a thought that is coming from the source, that the Spirit of God is one? I'm not sure.
Yeah, probably not. Probably if it's looked at very carefully, probably not. Because, you know, I think a great thought that is coming from the Spirit of God is one is something as simple as everything is always perfect. Mm-hmm. You know, when you really see that thought, everything is always perfect, notice that's completely inclusive of all people, all situations.
Yeah, yeah.
There isn't everything is always perfect.
Yeah.
Everything is always perfect. It does not provide the opportunity for judgment.
And there are, it smells differences in I like that person.
Yes, yes.
Because
yes.
I like that person, well, maybe what would I say of Bin Laden, for example, you know?
Yeah.
I like Cliff very much. What do you say of Bin Laden? Oh, Bin Laden, I don't know.
Or me, when I've only had 4 hours of sleep.
Or for example. No, exactly. It's staying at the surface of things. Is judging on the only thing that is judgeable, meaning like the form and not the content.
Yeah, so I think this is a great sentence that Holy Spirit gave us when he said, it may seem like a thought of love, but if the thought of love includes the opportunity for judgment, then it's an attack thought. That's a great, great definition. Let's look at this last paragraph because we've only got about 6 minutes left. I know we can go over, but Laurent and I want to read NTI. If we get to the movie tonight, we're looking at watching Jacob, which is a part of the Bible series. Although Jacob is not anyone who seems to be on my mind ever, last week he came into my awareness 3 times, so I took it as a prompt that I needed to watch the movie Jacob. So we've ordered that movie and it's arrived.
Right, Zoe, right, exactly.
Yeah, Zoe's funny. Okay, so let's read this last paragraph so Laurent and I can, you know, get on with our NTI study and the movie Jacob. All right, here we go. Whenever you notice an attack thought that seems to be in your mind or the mind of another person, because remember, it's not really in the mind of another person, it's in my mind. I'm the one thinking about it, okay? Whenever you notice an attack thought that seems to be in your mind or seems to be in the mind of another person, notice that you are seeing an attack thought, right? Here we go. Even if I think it's my brother's thought, it's in my mind. I'm the one thinking that it's my brother's thought. So whenever you notice an attack thought that seems to be in your mind or seems to be in the mind of another person, notice you are seeing an attack thought. Notice that there seems to be evidence or belief within your mind that separateness is a fact. And then remember that I have said it is not. Be willing to put your faith in me over your evidence or belief. And here he's really echoing what he taught me as I wrote NTI Matthew.
In Matthew.
In NTI Matthew, what Holy Spirit taught me is I needed to trust him over everything that I see, feel, or experience. I'm not going to let go of the ego if I continue to believe what I think I see. It seems to say that separateness is a fact. What I need to remember is that Holy Spirit says it's not, and I need to decide to trust Holy Spirit more than whatever evidence I'm seeing in my mind right now. So Holy Spirit says, and then remember that I have said it is not a fact. Be willing to put your faith in me over your evidence or belief. Let your mind rest with me. Again, that's let the thoughts rest. Don't let the thoughts keep spinning and spinning in my mind, taking my attention. Let your mind rest with me in the peace of me and take a moment to be grateful for truth. Let the attack thought pass from your awareness. Return to the peace of God. And when I returned home from the post office that day, I posted this message on the peace of God. And because we were all in I don't know together, and we were all looking for clarity on attack thoughts together, Everybody loved this message. It was a great gift to all of us. We all felt enlightened, better prepared to recognize attack thoughts in our mind where we had not been recognizing them, and better prepared to let them go. And we were all very grateful for this message. So thank you, Holy Spirit.
Great.
From all of us. I'll let go of the mic for a second and see if anybody has anything they want to share before Laurent and I go study NTI.
Zoe.
Oh, yeah.
Zoe has her hand up.
Yeah, Zoe, please take the mic. Go for it, sister.
Every single thing you said has opened up another door in my hallway of awakening. Love you. Bye.
Well, of course, we love you too, Zoe, and of course, the gratitude all goes to the Holy Spirit, because I know that you know that, you know, whoo, this is all what the Holy Spirit gave me as I was needing something to help me see differently. So, it's great to be able to share this stuff again. Anyone else? Yeah, Lenny Rose. You know what? I would have bet money, Lenny, you were going to be next. I kind of had an intuitive feel. Please take the mic.
Well, I was ready to type it out, but I wrote, and now if we take it wrong, we take this the wrong way, we can feel even more guilty for creating all these attack thoughts that are coming from that I am projecting into everyone and everything like that. But it's really meant to take back our power. Take back our power, that if I'm the one that's creating or projecting these attack thoughts, and I'm the one who can undo it, or at least to the help of the Holy Spirit. So it's really great. Thank you. Thank you, Zoe. Yeah, how sweet. Want to hear your beautiful voice.
Thank you, Lenny. And Cliff, I'm noticing that you have written, I have to go bury Dad tomorrow. Any thoughts or advice? There is a paragraph in NTI about death, which I love. I don't know exactly where it is right now, or I would just read it to you, but what I will do is still very intact. And one of the ideas that I got in my mind, Cliff, and it's crazy, crazy idea, but one of the ideas that I got in my mind was that if I was sad because somebody died, I was doing something wrong. Because, you know, God says, Jesus says, Holy Spirit says, death is not real. So if I was believing in death, if I was feeling sad, if I was mourning, I was doing something wrong. So I actually judged myself for being sad, for mourning death. So what happened in NTI, of course, really what NTI is, the story of correcting, you know, the wrong ideas in Regina's mind, that could be the subtitle. So one thing that Holy Spirit did in NTI is he corrected this idea. And what he told me was, it was okay, of course, to feel sad, to embrace my sadness, that there was nothing wrong with feeling sad. I could feel sad. But then he went on to tell me, but what I could also do while I was feeling sad is remember that if I'm feeling sad, that it means that I've forgotten the truth of what we are. Because the truth of what we are is eternal. So go ahead and feel sad. Allow myself those feelings. Allow myself to cry. And at the same time, while I'm feeling sad, while I'm crying, remember that there is a truth that I've forgotten. Just remember that. There's a truth that I've forgotten. And that just in remembering that, that would bring me comfort as I'm worn. So that's what I give to you, Cliff. All right, everyone. Good night. We love you. And Laurent is here tomorrow at 1.